Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up. Come to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, need a little help. Say it, boy. Need some help, y'all.
That's right. Wake up, everybody. Wake up, wake up, wake up. Wake up to MPH Radio. Today's date is the 3rd of July, 2021. We welcome you to the Missing Pages of History Radio. And today we're going to have a real interesting topic today, which is giving me an open mic. Later on during this program, we'd like for you to call in at 818-337-0016 and give us your thoughts on this question, which is the topic for today's program. What does the 4th of July mean to you? That's right, we said it. What does the 4th of July mean to you? That's our major feature topic for today's program. But before we get to this topic, like always, we'd like to welcome everyone again to MPH Radio. And our order for today will include giving you something to think about as we talk about freedom, from Black Men Attacks, from MPH, by Susie, a message to the community from our brother Alex. And following that, we will have a discussion on some current events. One of them will be on the recent release of Bill Cosby. What do you make of that? What do you think about the recent release of Bill Cosby? And the second one is on the U.S. military necessity in order to meet its basic needs, food, water, and shelter. What do you make of that? And then we were on the phone line to our theme today. What does the 4th of July mean to you? So that's the order for today on MPH Radio. What we're going to do right now, we're going to tell you, take out a pen and a piece of paper, and we're going to give you a little something to think about as we talk about freedom. We're going to give you this one concept where some people may see freedom as having the ability means to think of something and being able to achieve it. That's having the ability and the means to think of something and being able to achieve it. That's the concept of freedom, what you think of that. While you're thinking of that, we're going to take a quick break of what messes with the music. And when we come back, we'll come back with Susan. She can use her African/black mini facts for MPH. We'll be right back.
Tennessee. Lord, I've really been real stressed, down and out, losing ground. Although I am black and brown, problems got me pessimistic. Brothers and sisters keep messing up. Why does it have to be so damn tough? I don't know where I can go to let these ghosts out of my skull. My grandma passed, my brother's gone. I never at once felt so alone. I know you're supposed to be my steering wheel, not just my spare tire. The Lord, I ask you to be my guiding force and truth. For some strange reason it had to be. He guided me to Tennessee.
That's right. Take me to another land. We are co-founding today, and right now what we're going to do is actually to turn your attention to Susie and some black mini facts for this first week of July. And right now we'd like to welcome Susie to MPH Radio. Welcome, Susie.
Good evening, everyone. And I'd like to get a mini fact for the week of July the 1st through July the 3rd, 2021, and these mini facts will be coming out of the PRSP 2021 calendar. The first one for July 1 was Kwame Nkrumah became the first president of Ghana in 1960. Then on the 2nd of July, we have Patrice Lumumba Pan-Africanist revolutionary, was born in 1925. Medgar Evers was born in 1925 of July. And the last one for this week is Ahmed Fletcher, African revolutionary and member of the Pan-African Revolutionary Socialist Party, died in 27. And I'd also like to include some many facts on leadership. No matter your age, gender, sexual orientation, or socioeconomic background, know that you have the power to make a difference. Your voice matters, and chances are there are thousands, if not millions of people around the globe that feel the same way you do. And that was by Ella Baker from the U.S. Ella Baker was a true warrior in the struggle for African liberation, dedicating 50 years of her life to political activism. She was one of the key persons in the formation of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, which was SNCC, S-N-C-C. While many of elder leaders wanted to control the direction of youth organizations, she urged youth to organize themselves, stating that, quote, people have to be made to understand that they cannot look for salvation anywhere but to themselves, end of quote. Excuse me. And next, I'd like to read the one on Franz Fanon. Each generation must, out of relative obscurity, discover its mission, fulfill it or betray it. He was a psychoanalyst and social philosopher known for his writings on behalf of the national liberation of colonial people. He was educated in France in medicine and psychiatry at the University of Lyon. In 1953-56, he served as the head psychiatry department of Builder Joinville Hospital in Algeria, then a French colony. He began organizing with the Algerian Liberation Movement, which is National Liberation Front, or the FLN. His seminal work, The Wretched of the Earth, published shortly after his death in 1961, established him as a leading intellectual in the international decolonization movement. And what I've given you is just a few examples of Black history for today, Saturday, July the 3rd, 2021.
We thank you, Susie, and for the two individuals that she chose to highlight, Sister Ella Baker and Brother Franz Fanon. We'd like to make sure that our youth learn not only who they were, but the significance of their contribution. This has been a reporter of MPH Back Many Facts. What we're going to do right now, we're going to take a quick break with a message with the music, and when we come back, we're going to have a statement from the community from Brother Alex. We'll be right back, and you're listening to MPH Radio.
I learned to
That's right. Learning to love yourself and your people is the greatest love of it all. We welcome you back to MPH Radio. And right now, we're going to take you to Brother Alex Joyner. He has a message to the community. Brother Alex, will you share your message today to our underserved community? The mic is yours, Brother Alex.
Well, thank you, Brother Robinson. And thank you, Susie, for, again, much knowledge that was needed today and is well appreciated. Because if these facts from history that are overlooked and now are trying to be swept aside. So I thank you for that contribution. But we're about to celebrate a historic day for most of the nation. And it's called the 4th of July. And until I got a little bit older, after enjoying all the picnics and barbecues and parades and standing out there in Baltimore Harbor and looking over at Fort McHenry and watching the fireworks, standing at the Capitol watching the fireworks, in Georgia, in New York, so many different cities, I've seen the celebration, and I've seen people happy. But mine was not the case, and it changed. So I would like to go with 4th of July Day. First African men, women, and children were brought to the coastal shores of the British colonies called America today, in shackles and chains. They were whipped, beaten, and degraded into working for their white masters of European descent. They were brought here because the Native Americans of the continent would not be subjected to hard field work. Once captured, they refused to do it, and they often ran away from the harsh treatment and conditions of plantation life. The Indians combined their forces and made raids on the white settlements. They fought the white intruders, who made war against them until a peace treaty was made. 1776, the white men of the King Collins, along with many thousands of so-called Negro blacks, free men and others in bondage, aided the overthrow of the British rule and established the United States of America. These brave men of African heritage had given money, property, and their lives for freedom, justice, and the pursuit of happiness. What is being taught today and practiced in American daily life is a shame, as Frederick Douglass spoke of his 4th of July address. African-American leaders such as Malcolm X, Dr. Martin Luther King, and Thurgood Marshall spoke out and reminded white Americans that we were left out intentionally by the rich slave-owning presidents and congressmen who denied minorities basic and common rights by the Constitution to keep them from diluting their white power and white privilege. My cousin, James Bumpty Richardson, gave me a book on the 4th of July Day, and after reading it, I chose never to celebrate the 4th of July again. I will not and cannot until America lives out its true creed that all men are created equally, as Douglass declared so eloquently. Divide the freedom, liberty, equality, justice, and the pursuit of happiness to form the more perfect union that the original patriots died for. The real heroes should not be forgotten today. Those brave free blacks, slaves, Native American freshmen that died while fighting together, believing that they were better united than divided. It is the horrible that the descendants are still fighting injustices. The Native Americans have lost almost all their land, and other minorities are being constantly victimized. So today, for what and for whom do we celebrate? Nat Turner preached freedom, and he never surrendered to false beliefs. He died with a rope of promised freedom around his neck. He lived, not in memory and not in peace, but in celebration for the fight against the injustice that he led. I am ashamed of this part of American history. There's nothing in my heart to celebrate unless we make a change. Congress is being tested now, not to turn back history and rewrite the bad past and terrible future that may lie ahead. So celebrate if you can, or do what you have to. So for me, it's just another day of work, and there's little to celebrate. Fellow citizens, pardon me. Allow me to ask why I'm called to speak here today. What have I or those I represent to do with your national independence? Are the great principles of political freedom, of natural justice, embodied in the Declaration of Independence extended to us? Am I, therefore, called upon to bring our humble offering to the nation's altar and to confess the benefits and express devout gratitude for the blessings resulting from your independence to us? Would to God, both of our sakes and ours, that an affirmative answer could be truthfully returned to these questions. Then would my task be light and my burden easy and delightful. But such is not the state of the case. I say it with a sad sense of the disparity between us. I'm not included within the pale of this glorious anniversary. Your high independence only reveals the immeasurable difference between us. The blessings of which you this day rejoice are not enjoyed in common. The rich inheritance of justice, liberty, prosperity, and independence bequeathed by your father is shared by you, not me. The sunlight that brought light and healing to you has brought strife and death to me. This 4th of July is yours, not mine. At a time like this, scorching iron, not convincing iron, is needed. Oh, had I the ability and could reach the nation's ear, I would today pour out a fiery stream of biting ridicule, blasting reports, withering stern rebuke. For it is not light that is needed, but fire. It is not the general shower, but thunder. We need the storm, the whirlwind, and the earthquake. The feeling of the nation must be quickened. The conscience of the nation must be roused. The priority of the nation must be startled. The hypocrisy of the nation must be exposed, and its crimes against God and man must be proclaimed and announced. What to the American slave is your 4th of July? I answer, a day that reels to him more than all the days in the year, that the gross injustice and cruelty which he is constant victim to him, your celebration is a sham, your boasted liberty, an unholy license, your national greatness, swelling vanity, your sounds of rejoicing empty and heartless, your denunciation of triumphs, brass-fronted infants, your shouts of liberty and equality, hollow mockery, your prayers and hymns, your sermons and thanksgiving, with all your religious parades and solemnity, are to him more bomb blasts, fraud, deception, and propriety, hypocrisy, a thin veil to cover up crimes which would disguise a nation of savages. There is not a nation on earth guilty of practices more shocking and bloody than all these people of the United States at this very hour. Go where you may, search where you will, roam throughout all the monarchies and despots of the old world. Travel through South America. Search out every abuse, and when you have found the land, lay your facts side by side of the everyday practices of this nation, and you will say with me that for the revolting barbarity and shameful hypocrisy, America reigns without a rival. Frederick Douglass, 1876. And I thank you.
And we thank you, Brother Alex, for your message to the community. And what we're going to do right now, we're going to a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to have a discussion on the recent decision of releasing Bill Cosby from prison, as well as this question of the military poverty.
relax for you to call in at 818-337-0016 and give your views and perspective on these two recent current events. We're going to discuss again when we come back from this break. As we listen to some music with a message, we want to know what is your opinion on the recent release of Bill Cosby from prison and a military living in poverty. This is MPH Radio. We'll be right back, and we're going to take you to a message from our brother Otis, Otis Ray.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, then I watch them roll away again. Yeah, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm just sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. I left my home in Georgia, headed for the Frisco Bay, 'cause I've had nothing to live for, and look like nothing's gonna come my way. So I'm just gonna sit on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. Everything still remains the same. I can't do what 10 people tell me to do, so I guess I'll remain the same. Sitting here resting my bones, and this loneliness won't leave me alone. It's 2,000 miles I roam just to make this dock my home. Now I'm just gonna sit at the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time.
Yes, welcome back to MPH Radio, sitting on the dock of the bay. We just watching time roll away. Seems like nothing going to change. Things are remaining the same. Are we living in a different time? Well, with that thought, we'd like to welcome you back to MPH Radio, and we would like to have a perspective on the recent current events as relates to the recent release of Bill Cosby from the prison system. Was this an act against women who have been violated, or was it an act of justice or correcting a wrong from the beginning or incriminating a man who may have been innocent? So we'd like to hear your thoughts at this point in time. We're going to caller 2714. We welcome you to MPH Radio, caller 2714. What's your thoughts on the recent release of Bill Cosby?
Yes, I just want to say thank you so much for having me here today, Brother Lee, on Missing Pages. I want to thank Brother Alex and Sister Susie for their great presentation about our history and about the sham of Independence Day for Africans. But in regards to Bill Cosby release, it was a symbolic victory on our behalf, seeing the African many not only African, but I guess a celebrity, African who's a celebrity and a leader in some of our communities, HBCU, entertainment with television, the Fat Albert Show cartoon, giving us a cartoon of African culture, or somebody we can relate to, the Bill Cosby Show and all of that stuff. It was a symbolic victory. I'm not knocking him coming home, but what I am knocking is our political prisoners rotting away in jail cells, our political prisoners who put their lives on the line to really achieve real freedom, not bourgeois type of independence while just individualism for their self. They was putting their life on the line for not only their families, not only their children, but for their people like Mumia Abu-Jamal. What about when he's going to come home? When Matula Shakur is going to come home? When all of our political prisoners are going to be free and exonerated to come home? So yes, you can give us this symbolic victory to set up for Weinstein to come home next. This is what I believe it is. I believe it is a setup or a preparation to free Weinstein. But like I said, it's a symbolic victory on my behalf. And as for, you know, black visibility, like Kwame Ture said, black visibility is not black power. But the true black power fighters, freedom fighters, our political prisoners, when we going to let them come home? And I conclude.
Caller, hold on for a second. I want to ask you this quick question before we go to our next caller. You made an interesting point about just the whole hype around him being released and not paying attention to those who have fought for the interests of African people, humanity, like the Mumia Abu-Jamal and Jameel Alameen and Lenny Patrillos and David Gibbles, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I thought that was interesting because the model, W. Johnson, she's one of the first ones seen to be out in the major press attacking this particular position and releasing him, as well as attacking his stage wife, Felicia Rashad, about, you know, she making a decision about making a statement that she believed it was a correct decision to release him because he was ingested in prison from the beginning in terms of his innocence. I just find it interesting people of that sort to put time over that issue, but not put time over the other concerns and issues that we need to hear from, like the issue that you just raised dealing with political prisons. What do you think about that kind of critique of people spending time on this issue, but not on the issue that you raised, but all these many political prisons who has been justly incarcerated and they are not speaking on no issues? What you make of their silence on those type of issues, Carlo?
Yes, good question. Good question. And I would attack this question two ways. For the ones who, I speak on the ones first who are silent. The ones who are silent and who are not really speaking towards about our political prisoners basically might not be aware due to relying on bourgeois propaganda. You know, bourgeois propaganda is not going to give us constant information about political prisoners. They're not going to do that. And if they do that, they're going to shame our freedom fighters like they try to do and undermine Asada Shakur. They're going to make us, you know, the deviants in their propaganda. So this, I speak to that population who is not aware of our freedom fighters, our political prisoners. That's one angle you could look at it. There's this bourgeois propaganda machine. They constantly attacking the African male, a black culture, black people in general, African people in general, we are attacked. But I see a strong attack. I see a strong and direct attack on the African outspoken male. And a lot of news around, a lot of information about Bill Cosby trying to purchase NBC or what have you, but he was trying to purchase it on the behalf of African culture, black culture, to show us in a good light or what have you, or whatever the case is. You know, of course, that is a threat to the mainstream propaganda machine. So, you know, but to get back to your question, the second angle is that we do have people like yourself and myself who are on a grassroots level who are aware of our political prisoners, who are on social media putting, you know, fighting for the release of Mumia Abu-Jamal, who are fighting for the release of Matula Shakur, Maroon Schultz, who are fighting for the MOVE members, the MOVE freedom fighters, for their exoneration. So we've been fighting H-Rap Brown exoneration. We are on the ground fighting for those who are aware. We're here. We know what's going on, you know. But like I said, you know, for us to get it on a more of a mass scale, we have to organize platforms like we are doing today with Missing Pages. We have to organize these type of media platforms to a more level to our masses, to get them more to the people who are not aware of our political prisons. And we should, and I will conclude by saying this, Brother Lee, this should be our first line of getting resources, of getting news information, getting our information about our community, about our people. We should rely on our grassroots, progressive, pan-Africanist media outlets. BET is not going to do it for us. You got to go further than that. You got to go farther than that. BET, News, TV One, or whatever. We got to go farther than that. You know, BET. It was outright. How can I say this? And I'm not attacking the LG. This is not an attack on the LGBT community, because we had members of the LGBT community spoke out against what was shown on the BET Awards. It was a circus. It was an outright circus. You know, so we gotta rely on institutions and platforms like these, Missing Pages, African on the Move, PRSP, Pan African Revolutionary Socialist Party, AAPRPGC, all African Peoples Guinea chapter, SLAIM, Struggling, Living, and Never Giving Up. These are the grassroots organizations that we have to rely on this point. Friends of the Congo. This is where we're going to get our true information, our true news, like Sister Susie provided and presented with African facts from our calendar, from a calendar that was created, developed by Pan-Africanists, by people who are African, who love Africans, and working on the behalf of Africans. That's what we got to resort to. Listen, taking news from somebody don't give a damn about us. They only care about a dollar. A capitalist media, it's not going to cut it. That's why the hoopla and the propaganda has been set in stone for Africans, some Africans anyhow, to celebrate the 4th of July. I'm not celebrating the 4th of July. I never did. Now, people in my family stated that they took advantage of the day off, having a day off. They not celebrating it, but they celebrating the day off and enjoying the weather and enjoying time with families. I understand that. But as for to celebrate 4th of July, to light the fireworks, to put on the red, white, and blue, to be patriotic, it's absurd to me. It don't make sense. Okay? It doesn't make sense. So I conclude, because I think I beat the question up enough. Thank you so much, Brother Lee.
I thank you, caller. Next, we're going to our next caller. Next caller, your last four numbers are 4298. 298, welcome to MPH Radio. What do you think about the release of Bill Cosby for the prison? What is your take on that, caller, 4298?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for taking my call. And greetings to everyone who has spoken so far, Susie, Alex and the caller and everyone. It's been right on point. I think, you know, first we have to say that Bill Cosby was a cultural worker, and he had some progressive things to do in terms of African-American culture and presenting different strokes and Bill Cosby Show and Fat Albert, different things. It was progressive and revolutionary, ultimately, in terms of the direction it's moving in. And so, you know, he has contributed some good things, but there's always contradiction, and he had this other side of him, and it came out, and he was convicted. But due to the technicalities, he was rightfully released. And so, you know, I think he should try to straighten up and fly right, as they say. Hopefully, you know, he will be able to contribute more to the community if he gets his act together. But yeah, this conviction was just on the surface. Although the technicalities got him off, he was promised immunity, evidently, and so he was speaking out and confessing to things that he wouldn't have confessed to had he not had immunity, and so that was the technicality. I think, you know, history will absolve him ultimately. Although he has a spot on his record, I think he's done a lot of progressive things. Thank you.
Carla, Brother Alex, we're going to bring you into his equation. Now, one of the things I think in terms of the backdrop of the release of Bill Cosby, we must all begin to understand is that really when you look at this criminal justice system, it's not about the truth and not about fairness. It's about orchestrating situations that will be in the best interest of the system. Now, when we look at this whole scenario of how they arrive at his so-called innocence, I mean his so-called guilty of being guilty, all the things that they allow to come and play, which were not part of the so-called normal due process. Now, looking at that and looking at his recent release, many people view that as a means of being anti-women in terms of women being sexual abused. How do you view this release of Bill Cosby? Was that a just decision in releasing an individual who was victimized by a corrupt process? Just give me some of your thoughts and take on this, Brother Alex. What do you think?
Well, Brother Lee, first of all, I would like to say, yes, my heart goes out to any victim of sexual assault, because that's a terrifying experience regardless what, to go through it, to live through it, to deal with it on a daily basis. But that is why we have the law. That is why we have psychiatry. That is why we have support groups. There's so much been moved to trying to help the victim. The sooner the victim comes forward, the better. The longer the evidence gets old, it gets tainted, people forget, stories change. Then it becomes a thing called, it's no longer relevant. Statute of limitations is passed. So yes, that is terrible on the victim. But then we got to look at the accuser. Did it happen the way they said it happened? Was a flirt, suggestion, things that have been in the court system for years that have swayed a jury either way, the way a person dressed, the way a woman walks, the what alcohol if she drank before the encounter. There are so many things for a jury to sway one way or the other in a conviction. But again, we have to go back to the law. And in this case, that former DA, Bruce Castor, he announced in a news release that he found insufficient evidence in 05. He later testified that he gave Buster Cosby insurance to encourage him to testify in the civil case brought by her. In that civil case, she was awarded $3.38 million. Was justice served? Was justice done? I don't know. But the deal was he could not be tried again, could not be brought up. The law broke the law. Put the case to court. Had a conviction. Ms. Cosby went to jail. The law broke the law. If we're to live by law, regardless how unjust they are, Jim Crow laws are the worst laws ever. Worst laws ever. But the law was the law, and our people suffered. Political prisoners, yes, they suffered. Remember the cases of the Wilmington Den? They suffered unjustly. Many people have been accused. Not enough evidence, but the law was broken. They convictions, and then they were overturned in part. So that's what we have to look at. Supreme Court of Pennsylvania followed the law. It didn't follow Mr. Cosby. It didn't follow the victim. It followed the law. And if we cannot accept what happened, then we need to change the law. We have to change the judges. We have to change the mindset of the ones sitting on those Supreme Courts. Because they're the ones that's going to follow the law. The law leans whatever way, technicality or not. They're going to rule in favor of the law. And like I say, I hate it for any victim that ever suffered unjustly. But the law sometimes gets it right. Sometimes it gets it wrong. So we just have to bide our time and believe that the people that we put as judges, as DAs, defense attorneys, have our best interests in heart. And remember, the most important thing deals with the laws, that statute of limitation. The sooner a crime is committed, we've got to get there and let someone know. The longer we stay silent, worse things become. That's all I have to say.
Brother Alex, real quick, and the listening audience, you can weigh in on this later on as well. I'm just curious in terms of your position of the reactions from some of the people in the public, like Beverly Johnson, the former model, African model, where she attacked Felicia Rashad for supporting the release of Bill Cosby when she only just made the statement that she believed that correcting that decision was a just decision. And therefore, she's been coming under attack by some of the members at Howard University to resign her recent department stewardship. What you make of that?
Well, again, it's where we have to look at things, and some people recognize the law and accept that because they know they can't change it, whether it happened or it didn't happen. Felicia Rashad understood the law, knowing what happened, that a man went to prison and the law said he couldn't. Yes, she's going to be attacked. A lot of people are going to be attacked. The Supreme Court, members of the Supreme Court probably be attacked because we have a system called justice in this country. Doesn't seem like it always gives out justice, but it gives out justice by the laws that are written, not by the emotion of the people that are fighting their cause. There are many times, many juries will hate the verdict that they even have to render. But they're following the law. Howard University, the alumni, students, all up in arms. But has anyone ever sit down and explained to them the law? Have they read the deposition? Have they read what the judges wrote? Take in that information. I don't know. I can't remember now. Beverly might have been one of the women that may have been assaulted, may not have been assaulted by Ms. Cosgrove. Not sure right now. But take into all of what's happening and understanding, you know, standing with anybody and being emotional. But again, there are many decisions that I've hated seeing come about that I knew in my heart was not right. But the jury sided with the law. And we have to stand, you know, on those convictions. We can try and get it overturned. We can follow every legal maneuver that we can. And we should, if you believe that the law was wrong. But then also, get out and organize. Get people to vote and change those laws so that it will benefit more so than the accuser. But then the accuser has rights. And in this case, I believe if you're going to do anything with Mr. Cosby now, is go ahead and see if he will continue to work to provide the assistance in his neighborhood to HBCUs, to anyone, because he's sitting on a massive wealth there. He still has influence. He can still do good, you know, to every woman, my heart goes out to them. But again, everybody followed the law. And if you're going to be mad with somebody, don't be mad with police Rashad and anybody else that tries to defend Bill. Get mad with the system of justice that we have. Change that. Because you can't change the law. That decision's been made. But change the next law for the next victim that comes up. And that's where I think, you know, we need to, you know, start working on is that, you know, change these decisions. If you don't think them right, organize, get together, change it. Because otherwise, the law is going to continue with the law, serving the law. That's the only bound that it has.
Okay, our next transition to of our current event, we'd like to just briefly talk about and let people weigh in on. Just recently in media, there's been reports about how military members are functioning at a real level of poverty in terms of needing assistance for food and housing, et cetera. And I thought about that issue in regards to what message is sent when you have a government that has a budget that does not allow itself to the basic necessity needs to its so-called soldiers. What kind of messages does that send to a people who are willing to volunteer their lives to protect an entity while at the same time that entity is not providing some of the basic needs and necessity that they may need to exist as a human being? What do we take from this particular phenomenon, Carlos 2714? What's your thoughts on that? 2714.
I'm sorry, you was going in and out on my end. Can you repeat the question? My apologies.
Yeah, my question is, what is your take on this phenomenon where a government is not willing to put a budget together that can supply a military soldiers, men and women, the basic necessities to function in terms of having basic housing and food and shelter? There has been articles talking about how many military members are forced to apply for food stamps and government assistance for housing, et cetera. What do you make of that phenomenon, given the fact that here you have individuals who have pledged their lives to protect this entity called the U.S. government, while at the same time, the U.S. government seems like it's not providing the basic necessities to protect them, just as just as human beings? What do you just in general take from that phenomenon? What does that say to a people?
That's very interesting. I don't have a lot of I guess a lot of research about this particular situation. I'm kind of surprised that the United States of America is deflecting to take care of their military, their soldiers. Their military is what keep America in power. Their military is what keep capitalism functioning. Their military. So to hear that they're not going to take care of their soldiers, if I understood the question or the current event correctly, if they're not going to take care of their soldiers by providing them housing and not putting proper funding, money back in the military, that's very surprising to me. Right in at the same time when President Biden came out and stated that they're going to handle sexual assault among women in the military differently going forward. So it's kind of interesting, very interesting. I am definitely going to do more research on my behalf to understand this matter more clearer, because the United States of America, they're not going to do something. Every move they make, best believe that they got another move to follow that move. So I would like to know what are they working on, or what's going on, what's taking place for them to not, you know, to not continue to, invest funding or money back into their military. Like I said, their military is what's keeping them in power. So this is very interesting to me.
I still calling. Next, we clear got next caller, 4298. What's your take on the phenomenon, caller, 4298?
Yeah, this is quite interesting. I need to research that myself. The military is, you know, is considered to be, you know, the prime budget item for the conservatives and the Congress, the duopoly. They love to fund the military. And so, you know, it's very surprising that there is a lack of income for food and housing among military personnel. I like to look in a little more myself. But yeah, this is the U.S.'s ace in the hole. Their military was willing to fight unquestionably, it seems, for whenever they give it orders. And so to not have them compensated is very surprising. Thank you.
Thank you, caller. And before we go to our break, Alex, we'd like to get you to weigh in on the phenomenon. What do you make of this particular situation, Alex?
Yes. The Biden-Harris administration proposed a budget of $752 billion for the national defense. $715 billion, which is for the Department of Defense. When we look at those challenging numbers of billions of dollars, we should have the most well taken care of military workers ever. But the money, for some reason, pays for the tanks, pays for the ships, pays for the missiles, pays for all kinds of toys that the generals and admirals may want. But when it comes to the men of the military, as they say, the meat on the plate, the ones that get the job done, the ones who serve so proudly, the honorable soldiers that are in the VA hospital, missing limbs, missing eyes, almost cut in half because of bomb blasts. When we as a nation learned that these men were in mold-infested environments, getting secondary and third care, to see a soldier's wife standing in line in front of you and she using food stamps as an EBT card, It's a disgrace that we can spend this much money on everything else, but we can't take care of the soldier himself. The GI Bill is not enough unless you make sure that he is at a wage that he can take care of his family. So just like we cry about $15 an hour, soldier needs a little bit more money too. We have to look at what's right for every American, especially the Americans that are putting their lives on the line. If we look at the amount of post-traumatic stress these soldiers go through coming out of war, how they're torn when they get home between duty and family because they got to go back and serve another tour. So much goes and happens when that male or female is out of the house for months and years as they serve this country. But then the letters to the soldiers say that we can't make the car payment. The lights might be shut off. This is not the way that we should service the members that protect us. So I'm hoping that out of this $715 billion, that they see the right thing to do and give the soldiers more of a piece of the pie. And that's one of the issues that I will be writing Congress about and see if we can get their minimum wage uplifted. Because for too long, these soldiers have been seen as the bottom of the wheel and not the top where they belong. And that's all I have to say.
All right, thank you, Brother Alex. We're listening to the MPH Radio. I'm the voice of MPH Radio. What we're going to do right now, we're going to take a break, a message with a message, and when we come back, we're going to talk about this question, and we'd like to have your take. I know people been telling you what you should be feeling and what you should do and what it's supposed to be about, but we want to hear from you directly. What does the 4th of July mean to you? We would like to have that discussion when we come back. You're listening to MPH Radio. We'll be right back.
If you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? How long have you hated your white teacher? Who told you you love your black preacher? Do you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? People must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation
would make a better society. Now some of us would rather cuss and make a fuss than to bring about a little trust. But we shall overcome, I believe, someday, if you'll only listen to what I have to say.
And how long have you had your white teacher?
Who told you you love your black preacher? Can you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? I say now people must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me.
And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right?
If that's right, Ecolo. Which one would you choose, my brother? If there was no day or night, which one would you prefer to be right? Just a million-dollar dilemma. You're listening to MPH Radio. Read Now is at the heart of this program. Our theme topic tonight is, what does the 4th of July mean to you? That's right. Many times there are symbolisms to express a certain type of value, a certain type of idea, a certain type of images, a certain type of control. Holidays, you must always ask yourself, what is the meaning and objectives for holidays in its essence? And at this particular time, outside established media, we want to ask you to fill in your own missing page of history around the history of what does the 4th of July mean to you. If you have any thoughts on this particular question, we encourage you to call 818-337-0016, and please hit 1. Please hit 1, and we will acknowledge your last four numbers. If you have any thoughts on it, please hit 1, and we will acknowledge your last four numbers. And right now, we're going back to caller 2714 on this theme question tonight. What does the 4th of July mean to you? I know what they say in the history books what it's supposed to mean, but do you buy that hype, caller 2714? Question, what does the 4th mean to you?
The 4th means another success of capitalism. The 4th of July means that the capitalists were successful in stealing the land from the Native Americans. The 4th of July signifies that the capitalist was successful in oppression and enslavement of Africans to build up this America for them to achieve Independence Day. The 4th of July represents the death of the first African who put his life on the line for the capitalists to receive their independence, Crispus Attucks. As Malcolm X stated in 1964 in the bullet on the ballot, this government has failed us, African people, people who are in the struggle every day, have-nots, proletariats, workers of all races, of all ethnic backgrounds, if you will. This government has failed us from the beginning, because they enslaved us, they raped us, they did everything that they possibly can be done to a person. Every trifling negative thing, being raped, broken, forced to have sex with your parent, your mother, being pulled apart by a horse, anything, these medical experiments, all the way from Henrietta Lacks to Chris Baker here in Richmond, Virginia, going to his fellow African graveyard, stealing bones, stealing organs, stealing bodies, and bringing it back to VCU Medical Center, or MCV Medical College of Virginia, for our bodies, for their organs, to be used for medical experiments to better the life or the survival chances for a certain class of people, a certain race of people. Rich white people, if you will, European people, white people, however you want to frame it. Not only that, we're dealing with capitalism, who desecrates on our African burial grounds all over the world. Our burial grounds are being desecrated. Not only that, we're talking about organ harvesting here in Virginia, Richmond, Virginia, with MCV. Not only that, our bodies, our organs of our ancestors were grind and mix in the cement to build these bridges on Interstate 95, the same Interstate 95 that runs through our little black Africans, our little Africans, our black Wall Streets, or however you want to frame it. They run through our black communities. They run them down. They ran down Jackson Ward. They ran down Baltimore. They run through our communities up and down the East Coast and parts of the world, even the West Coast. They use the interstate to run down through these black, they call it urban renewal, gentrification. These are miniature forms of capitalism. So, Brother Africa, Brother Lee, when you ask me what the 4th of July means to me, that's what it means. It's not a victory for us. We ain't win real independence or freedom to have a celebration yet. We should not be celebrating a goddamn thing right now. We should be struggling. We should be fighting for the attainment of freedom. As a real passionate I'm not even near a freedom fighter. Freedom fighters put their lives on the line to get out, to get the next generation some better way of living. I am nowhere near a freedom fighter, so we got to fight. We have to organize. I know we say it every other weekend on this show. We have to organize as Pan-Africanists. We say it every day, organize, but we have to put action. We have to put theory to action. We have to. But to my people, there's no time to celebrate Independence Day. Even Juneteenth. We celebrate Juneteenth. Are we really getting independence? We still have Africans dying, and we're talking about political prisoners rotting away in a jail cell. And not only that, along with the millions of Africans who are rotting away in the jail system, they're talking about they're going to do away with the juvenile institutions. They should do away with them, as we've seen. What they did to Khalif Brown. We need to get rid of all of these institutions. This is a representation of slavery. So I would say this: we are nowhere near to be celebrating, not even a Juneteenth, and damn sure not 4th of July.
All right, thank you, Carlo. Let's go to our next Carlo. What does the 4th of July mean to you, Carlo 4298? Your response, caller 4298.
Yeah, well, I think Brother Gerald Horn, the author, summed it up correctly in his book, The Counter Revolution of 1776, and you know, because he shows and analyzes the situation in the world, and at that point in history, the world was frowning on slavery, and the abolitionist movement was growing. England and some of the other countries in Europe were abolishing slavery, and so, you know, at this point in time, this is when the U.S. revived slavery more or less and propped it up even more at the time it was on the decline. And so it was a counter-revolution of 1776, and so there's nothing for black people to celebrate. We were enslaved in chattel slavery, and this was the so-called progress, the revolution, and was a counter-revolution. And so we have to recognize that certainly the liberation from chattel slavery is a moment in history that we should recognize, and that's why Juneteenth, I guess, is important. But like I said, there was a counter-revolution in 1776. Thank you.
Thank you, caller. Let's try this caller right here. They've been waiting patiently. Let's see if this caller has something to say. Caller, I'm going to call out your last four numbers, 7236, 7236. Do you have a response to what does the 4th of July mean to you? Caller 7236.
Good afternoon, and I have to say a happy Independence Day. The proletariat struggles for independence, but we should not ignore our successes in this world and in this country. There is uneven development. I heard the speakers talking about the the Americas, and it makes me think of how capitalism underdeveloped Black America. It was a book written by Manning Marbles. But the issue is not so much how America was underdeveloped, capitalism underdeveloped the African community, but how are we underdeveloping ourselves now? So the struggle is really to organize. For myself, historically speaking, my family always celebrated Independence Day because of the fact that, like the speaker said, from Chris Addicts forward, our people had always served in the military in this nation. So they would hang the flag proudly. And they were proud that they had purchased the land from the slaveholder and made an independent village right in the state of Maryland. And I look at communities like Fulton that were still they were still completed. They hadn't been destroyed by urban renewal. Synonym for urban renewal used to be Negro removal, and it definitely was effective throughout the United States. First, Congress passed the Redevelopment Land Act of 1945, and it went on to pass the Urban Renewal Act of 1949. But Independence Day is a day of rest for the worker. It's a day of family to be united. But this Independence Day, more than any other, we all need to think about our Mother Earth. And she is responding to our abuses, not only the abuses of the great capitalists, but the abuses of the consumer culture, the pollution, the global warming. Right now, our brothers and sisters in Minnesota are being arrested the last few days because they're trying to stop Enbridge from building a new pipeline. Why should anyone build a pipeline anywhere on planet Earth? We see what carbon emissions are doing. So this Independence Day, I think we should all think about not just ourselves, who aren't even born yet. Think about the future of the planet. And by that, we should all do something different. Take a small step to do something different. And I would urge everyone to write Congress and the President to stop Enbridge in Minnesota and make a moratorium on all pipelines and all drilling and set up economic incentives that would cause the great corporations and the capitalists and the super imperialists to find and make incentives for them to find an alternative to fossil fuel and the use of number two plastic. So I think right now this Independence Day is like many have been in recent years for me. It's a reflection on our abuse of Mother Earth and how she gives so much to us and we take it for granted. So today should be a wake-up call for everyone. We see the floods happening right now in Russia. We see the overwhelming heat in Canada. One village has been completely evacuated. We see that for the first time in the North Pole, they're having snow quakes where the permafrost is melting, and it's unbelievable. It's letting off gases that should never be emitted. It's a sad day for the world. So my question to everyone is, what are you going to do to reduce your carbon footprint? What are you going to do to make sure your local community reduces its carbon footprint? What are you going to do that so that your nation reduces its carbon footprint? So for us, our interests have always been my family, Mother Earth, our nation, and our community. We tried to rise above the id, because the id ain't just a number and a word in Scrabble. ID is just not a word in Scrabble. It's something that we want to rise above. Everyone cares for themselves, their family, but now we have to care for each other, people that we may not even know. We may not even speak the same language. It doesn't matter. We have to care for them. Pandemic has shown us that. We see the conditions in Brazil. Hopefully the recall will be successful in Brazil, and Bolsonaro will be recalled. We see the horrible conditions in South Africa and the Sub-Sahara, in that persons have no way of being vaccinated against the COVID-19. So now's the time for us to change our attitude, to respect women and children, to realize that housing, education, food, and health care are human rights. And it's a global right, because once we do that, we're going to be treating each other better. We're going to treat our Mother Earth better. So now's the time. This Independence Day is a reflection on how cruel people have been, how I have been and others have been to Mother Earth, and how we need to change it and change our behavior. Start recycling today. Make it a new 4th of July commitment. Don't throw that cell phone away. Make sure you recycle it. Don't dump that computer in the trash can. Get it to the appropriate recycling center. Don't drop another can of paint in the trash can. Get it to an appropriate recycling center. Stop destroying Mother Earth. Think of the future. Think of the children to come. If you have no children, it doesn't matter. We're all God's children. So to all of you, I would say, have a blessed Independence Day. As a descendant of an enslaved people, it's a mixed feeling. You know, we weren't slaves, but we definitely were enslaved. And we are the builders of this great nation. And right now, if we continue to reflect on mentality of the 60s and 70s, we're going to miss what's happening. Because there's a whole new group of people coming to this country that may not even realize they're Africans. They just know that in their country, they're prejudiced against each other. Whether you're a Garifani, it doesn't matter. They're standing up for the people of Honduras. But who else is standing up for them? The Garifani, or is it the Garifani? You look at what's happening in Haiti, the Dominican Republic, and Cuba. Cuba is an example of how people should live. We should do whatever we can to make sure Cuba has the equipment and the resources to administer its vaccine to its people and to continue helping the people of Central and South America. Because after all, Cuba is a model of organic farming and environmentally responsible behavior. They don't export guns, they export doctors. And we should remember this Independence Day, the Palestinian people and their struggle for liberation occupied by the Israelis for some time. Zionism has nothing to do with being a Jew. It's a type of apartheid that needs to be abolished. So we should fight against genocide and apartheid, stand up for women and children, and give thanks for our lives every day.
Okay, we'd like to thank you, Carlos. All right, what we're going to do is go to Alex. Alex, we're going to ask you, okay, what's your take on what does the 4th of July mean to you, Brother Alex?
Well, I'd like to thank the previous callers, all of them, for expressing their opinions, because that's what we need to talk about. Independence today, independence yesterday. independence tomorrow. We need to talk about independence. That means independence to make sure that you're making the right decisions, whether it's financial, whether it's educational, whether it's on your own health. Because, yes, planet's getting sick. Jobs are is nowhere where it should be. There are so many things that are wrong that you couldn't even list them all if you tried. So we say, where do we start? Well, we first start with history because we want to make sure that history does not repeat itself. That's being disenfranchised by the vote. That means still being on the end of the totem pole when it comes to being paid a fair wage. It means being able to seek the best of medical care and having the prescription cost where you can afford it once you get out of the hospital. Yes, there are so many things wrong with this country. And when things don't start out perfectly and the foundation is shaky, and this country started on a very shaky foundation, then how do you say you cure all these ills 20 years down the road? We saw a building collapse in Florida, and I do believe that it's all about a shaky foundation. That's what we have to look at. We had an insurrection, a shaky foundation to this nation's core. Are you going to support the people or are you going to support lies? I remember sitting and talking years ago to a gentleman that when I went down to my father's hometown in Whitmire, South Carolina, and we were talking about history and the 4th of July because it was that weekend. And I wanted to see how the people in South Carolina, Columbia and all, and I couldn't wait to get to Columbia just to see how the state of South Carolina community would celebrate it. And this gentleman told me about the Hamburg Massacre and a few others that were down there in Macon, one in Elton, South Carolina, where over 100 blacks were killed. In Hamburg, that massacre happened on July 4th, 1876. It's just ridiculous that how over 100 white men attacked the National Guard at the armory. If nothing could be any worse than that, that men that were wearing the flag, supported the flag, upholding the flag, were being attacked. 94 white men were indicted. None of them were prosecuted. That's what we have to look at. You celebrate the four, you have to celebrate what was on the other side. And the other side was not barbecued hot dogs and hamburgers. It wasn't joyous music. We have been suffering for a long time in this nation. When will we wake up and realize that our independence is at stake to have better schools, to have better resources for economic and financial gain in this country, to be able to move forward, buy homes, buy property, buy business, network with each other, and stop the shootings in our community. Every time I listen, someone always says, well, you know, you're killing more blacks than the cops are. You're turning the guns on each other worse than we ever did. As long as those ideas manifest, it's hard to get help in our own communities because they do see them as the worst of the worst. But you put those problems there. You didn't give us the resources. You made the ghettos and threw us into the slums, brought drugs into the community, built prisons to use mass incarceration, to bring the fathers out the home, where if they were getting welfare, they didn't qualify because now the income level went up. So you put all the devices there to continue to tear down the people that needed the help the most coming out of Reconstruction. America has never lived up to its creed of helping the poor, and the rich are the priority of this country. All you have to do is go to any welfare office and you'll see it. You get a little handout to keep you surviving. But if you're rich, you get a huge bailout to keep you moving on. Those are the things that we have to look at and say, when will we get our independence? It could be a glorious day. It could remind me once again of all the different cities I've been to and seen all the celebrations. Because the people truly want a better life. It's one of the richest nations in the world. Our people deserve better. The military deserve better. The elderly deserve better. The poor deserve better. Everyone in this country deserves better. But as long as it's tied to the few people at the top, trickling down is almost nothing. Someone has to foot the bill. And right now, it's on the poor and the disenfranchised. So as we go forth, I pray that everyone has a wonderful, beautiful day. I pray that there no one gets shot. People even got shot on Juneteenth, which is still crazy in my mind. We go forward and celebrate as you may, whoever want to, for whatever reason you want to. But truly celebrate when America changes its face and does something for each other. Pulling yourself for your bootstraps. But what if you ain't even got boots? How can you climb the ladder? Is there no ladder? How can you be on the rooftop? Is there no roof? Things have to change. It was given and provided to the Europeans when they got here. Land grants, money, everything to make sure that they got that head start. Then it became a thing of, yes, privilege and supremacy. And that's how America evolved through those. Yes, slavery didn't die. It evolved. It moved around a few things, disguised a few things, hid a few things, so that it continue on in many Americans' minds. But we need to change all that. We have to work together. If I'm ever known for anything, I like to be known as a bridge builder. Because if you build bridges, you can get somewhere. You can cross the river. You can go here. You can go there. Building bridges, getting things accomplished, getting people organized, talking to one another, networking, building bridges of faith, building bridges of trust, building bridges of facts, building bridges of honesty, building bridges. And if I can do that before I pass, then I will be thankful. And that's all I have to say.
We'd like to thank you, Brother Alex. We'd like to thank all of our participants. We'd like to thank our listening audience to listen to this episode of Mission Pages of History. And we'd like to remind you that this radio program comes on a biweekly basis. Every other week, you can tune in at 1 p.m. Eastern Time and help us fill in our missing pages of history. Until next time, we'd just like to remind everybody to use whatever time you have available and to do your best, feel your best, and make sure it will be applied to making humanity better. Until next time, this has been MPH Radio. And if you'd like to support us and join us, please email us at mphradio@yahoo.com. mphradio@yahoo.com. We need your support. We need to build this institution, because one of the things in terms of how you affect the future is to develop institutions so you can transmit information and ideas from one generation to another. This is what we're trying to do at MPH Radio and Miss Page Your History. We need your help, need your support. More important, we need your minds and your bodies to help build. So until next time, we leave you with the words of Alicia Keys. We are here for all of us, and we'll see you in 2 weeks. This has been the voice of MPH Radio. for the words of Frederick Douglass, what to the slave is the 4th of July? Douglass' speech also foreshadowed the bloody reckoning of the Civil War. He stated, for it is not light that is needed, but fire. It is not the gentle shower, but thunder, he said. We need the storm, the whirlwind, and the earthquake. This has been Missing Pages of History.